The house was dark. "Gollum," I said. He waddled over and looked up at me with his sad, bulbous eyes. His tail thumped once against the tile floor. "Good boy," I said, and kneeled down to hug him. He groaned piteously. "Come on," I said, "let's go up." I left my suitcase at the bottom of the stairs. The old black lab, 11 years old now, followed me up the steps, then doddered over to our bed. Jake wasn't in it, off at a fire, I figured. Gollum jumped in, as if it were the last action he would commit upon this earth. The dog looked at me with his roomy, grateful eyes, then lay his head down on my husband's pillow and moaned. "Gollum. Gollum." A pair of loons called to each other out on the lake, the bird world equivalent of a married couple's late-night argument. The male laughing, the female responding with a melancholy, "Whoo." It wasn't hard to translate. "I'm here, I'm here, are you listening? I'm here." And the reply, "Yeah, I know where you are." Across the hallway to the room where our son, Falcon, lay in his bed fully dressed, arms spread like a man on the cross. His mouth was open. I stood in his doorway. It wouldn't be long now before he graduated, another 9 months, and then Jake and I would be alone in the big house. On his desk, Falcon's schoolbooks were piled high. His French horn lay by the foot of the bed, the case open, a music stand over by the window. Once he'd been a 2-year-old, lying in a crib in a room not unlike this one. Back then, I feared that the slightest breeze might carry him off. There'd been days when I'd stood by the crib, my heart filled with equal measures wonder and fear. The sunlight had slanted through the window and reflected off of the pumpkin pine floorboards, filling his room with golden light. Back in my bedroom, I put on a green cotton nightie with a silkscreen of a baleen whale on it and got into bed next to Gollum. Now, deep into his dotage, the black lab's face was mostly gray. I turned off the light and lay there for a moment, wondering if my mind was going to be able to slow down. I'd woken that morning in a hotel room in Manhattan after 2 days of researching a story on Heart Island, the Potter's Field of New York. I don't know why I thought the Heart Island story was going to go anywhere. It wasn't exactly the kind of story magazines use to fill what they call the blue pages, photos of Caribbean oceans, models luxuriating in infinity pools. Some of the things I'd seen on Heart Island were going to be hard to forget. Prisoners in orange jumpsuits, coffins in a long trench, white guards with machine guns trained on black men. Even the landscape was gruesome. The summer sun shining down on the deteriorating buildings of the abandoned hospital for the insane. I'd stood for a while in front of a collapsed structure filled with rusted gears and steam engines. There was a rusted sign. The Dynamo Room.